My name is Paola Testa. I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another project by Anthony Gormley of Trafalgar Square. The date is the 22nd of September 2009 and the time is 7:20 a.m. Please could you tell me your name, your age and where you're from?
I'm Jane Haslam. I'm 50 years old and originally from Yorkshire, Whitby in Yorkshire.
And have you travelled into London especially for your hour on the Plinth today?
Yes, I live in Colchester, Essex at the moment, and we travelled in last night, my daughter and I, and we stayed over in the hotel.
And how are you feeling about going up on the Plinth this morning?
Extremely nervous, and the nerves are building up quite rapidly, I'm afraid.
What was it about the project that first appealed to you and inspired you to apply?
I suppose this may seem rather odd, but we were just talking about the project at work, and in a light-hearted manner, everybody put their names down, and I was the one that was chosen. Probably other people would be more suitable than me, but with their encouragement, I accepted, and I said I would go along with it.
And how did you feel when you heard that you had a place?
Panic-stricken, I think, really, more than anything. I immediately told everybody. I found out when I was at work, and I told everybody at work, and they were delighted. And you must do it. Oh, panic, but why not? This year I'm 50. I went platinum blonde as well, so why not? Let's do something else that's outrageous and totally out of my comfort zone.
Was that your main drive? Is that what made you accept the place? What is it that made you actually hit that button and say yes?
Say yes. I think probably that was it. Yes, I've got to do something in my life that, I've been invisible for the first 50, and I should be invisible for the second 50, maybe, so I may as well do something in the middle, like a sandwich, really.
And what is your understanding or interpretation of what that hour is about? How have you, what do you think it is for each individual?
Well, I've gone through an awful lot of analysis, really, certainly with regard to myself, a lot of introspection. I think it really is just for that person. I think initially I was maybe thought, well, let's do some form of entertainment, and maybe the people, the gallows crowd, shall we say, around looking on the internet or, there. I can't remember what I was going to say then. Oh, yes. I think are expecting entertainment, and I don't think that's what it's all about. I think it's actually being yourself and indicating to the world that, yes, this is who I am. And the number of people that are doing that and doing whatever they are or whatever they want to do sort of brings together a snapshot of Middle England, shall we say, I guess. I don't know, Middle Britain. I shouldn't say Middle England, should I? And it's an interesting project, not just from an artistic point of view. I think really from a sociological, psychological, psychoanalytical, historical point of view, I think there's an awful lot of PhDs inside this thing, really.
Have you followed much of the project? Have you been watching?
Yes, I've been absolutely manic. I've been watching it all the time in the middle of the night. I've just come back from holiday in Singapore and I was even watching it over there. So, yes, it has that effect, really. It really focuses your mind as to, what you're going to be doing as well.
And have you thought a lot about what you'll be doing?
Oh, yes, it's not been out of my mind, and particularly in the, the small hours of the morning. I think I've been awake quite a lot, worrying and wondering. And all the ideas and things that have happened, people have suggested it, things, and people have talked about it. Acquaintances, not just family and friends and work colleagues. It's quite surprising, really, how many people are interested to hear.
And what is it that you've decided to do for the hour?
Well, after going through a huge gamut of emotions and everything else and ideas and seeing that they've been done at least 14 times anyway already, the things that I've thought about, and also as people have said, well, do it for you, do it for yourself. I'm not an entertainer, and I'm not really an orator, I don't think. I and I've got a call this morning and my voice isn't terribly good. So I think I looked at the idea of public statuary and realised that, yes, it's mute and it's immobile and it has to withstand all sorts of weathers and just be there, really. And so I'm going to do that. But in the within the context of that, I'm treating it as a rite of passage. As I said earlier on, I'm 50. I've gone through the first half. I'm going on the plinth to go through to begin the second half, probably. And to that end, I'm also hoping to move out to Singapore next year. So I'm going to sort of have an image of my life, my future life. I've got some material that I picked up over there, some Chinese silk, and I'm covering the plinth with that. I'm going to scatter some red roses. My husband's always sent me red roses in the 25 years that we've been married. And I have kept every single one of them, and I was going to use those, but then I thought if it's windy, I couldn't bear to lose them. So I've bought some roses along on those stems as a symbol of that, really. And I've got some cushions to sit and read. Originally, I was going to lay like the medieval lady, you know, the Lady of Shalott. I thought, well, it's a bit like a catafalque, really. You know, it's a tomb. But then I thought, no, I don't think the family could bear to see me looking dead, really. So I'm going to sit and read. I am a librarian, and I'm very interested in books of all kinds. I'm a rare books librarian, actually. But what I'm going to read are, to myself, excerpts from books that are related to Westminster, London, that sort of area. I've got Mrs. Dalloway, Edgar Allan Poe's The Man in the Crowd, and also a Chinese artist who wrote in the 1930s about his visit to London, Silent Traveller in London, it's called. And I shall read those. It's past my hour.
And how did you bring those ideas together? Why did you choose to do all of those things?
I suppose just as things came along, really. You know, I got, it's, as I say, thinking about it in the middle of the night and what can I do and what will suit me. And that sort of happened. It all came together somehow. I don't quite know really why.
Who would you say that you're doing it for?
I should say me, myself and I, really. But I guess my children, my husband, they care for me and they love me.
Do you have any expectations about your role?
Not really. I just, at this moment, want to just get it over and done with, actually. I want to do it and sink back into obscurity, I think, really.
What impact do you think you'll have by going upon the plinth and doing what you're doing?
I have no idea. I think it may change me. I'm not quite sure. I know that the process has changed me quite a bit. But yes, I don't know. I mean, I would imagine it has an effect, but I really can't say what it'll be. I'll let you know when I get back down again.
In what ways has the process changed, do you think?
Well, it's made me look at myself, I think. Made me realise that, yes, this is my point, you know. This is my, I don't know, watershed, and let's get on with something that I need to do.
And you've spoken about moving to Singapore. Would you tell me a little bit more about that and the reasons why you think you're going?
Oh, right. Well, it's quite simple, really. My husband lives out there, so we have a bit of a long-distance marriage. He's a master mariner, and he works in ship salvage now. He's been there for about 2.5 years. And I have stayed here with the children. My son lives with me, our daughter's at university. Sadly, I think what's brought it into focus really is that a very dear friend of ours who is in Singapore suddenly passed away over the weekend. And he was alone, and my husband's there alone, and I think really I need to be with him.
And is that something you've decided more recently?
It was an intention, but it was always quite vague, really. I mean, we've always been apart because of his nature of being at sea and everything. So, but I think made us realise, you know, well, actually, this is our life and we're getting on and we've had 25 years of marriage, maybe we should spend some time together.
And how often do you get to see, do you go out there quite a lot, or do you come back?
Yes, we see each other about every 3 months, which is what we've always, it's always been the case around about that sort of time period, so we're used to it.
And are your children okay about you going out as
well? Well, they want us to be together, I think, really, and they're old enough now to fend for themselves. And I don't suppose they want me to go because they'll still be here, but...
Do you think you'll enjoy living in Singapore?
I really wouldn't like to say. I think, yes, I will. I mean, it's a beautiful city. It really is an amazing city state, really. And it's a very different life, to what I'm used to and how I've lived before. So it is a big, big change. And, yes, it is lovely, and I hope to enjoy it. And the fact that I'm with my husband is a big bonus, obviously. But we'll see how it goes.
And your work as a rare books librarian,
yes.
How long have you been doing that?
Well, actually, not overly long. When the children grew up, to be about 12 or 13, I decided to take a degree in humanities at Essex University. From there, I went into the library at Essex for a year, did a student assistantship, then went to library school up at UCL. And this is my first professional post at the London Library, which is just across the way in St James's. And my main interest is early print books, which is 16th century, late 15th, early 16th century. And I work with those on a daily basis, and it's an absolute joy. It's wonderful.
What is it that you enjoy about it and enjoy about it?
I really can't say. I can't put my finger on anything really as such in that, you know, specific. I just like to, I think to hold something in your hands that's 500 years old, that's in a really better condition than most books that are about 5 or 6 years old. The concept of production of early print is of great interest to me, and just the bindings and the whole thing. It's just wonderful and it's amazing, and that's what I like doing.
And will you be able to continue that when you go to Singapore?
Well, hopefully. I mean, there's quite a few university libraries, I think there's 3 or 4, and they also have a National Library of Singapore. But by definition of its situation, there's nothing much rare. Their rare books date to about 1850, whereas where I work at the London Library, that's just an every workaday book that you would deal with anyway. You know, it's not, you tend to get a bit blasé when you're dealing with things that are 500 years old. But yes, I'll still be able to continue on with the librarianship, hopefully.
And outside of work, what are your interests?
Well, because I commute most days, there's nothing much else to do in the once I get home, it's dinner and bed. But I do read, obviously, and my family, my children. I don't have a huge interest in anything particular, really, shall we say, you know, I just am.
And you've spoken about turning 50 and this being a kind of marking point. What would you say that are the things that are important to you now?
My family, I think. Well, I've always been somebody's wife, somebody's mother, or somebody's daughter, and I suppose I should continue being that. But I am myself as well now. I realised it's taken me a long time, but yes, I'm in there as well.
And what have your family's reactions been to you doing this?
My husband thinks I'm completely bonkers, and he is still here. He was due to fly back to Singapore at the weekend, but because of the death of our friend, he's staying here to spend time with his family, and consequently he's delayed for a while. But he's not actually outside going to be looking. He's going to be watching online because he's in the north of England at the moment. But my children are delighted. Absolutely, Susanna, my daughter, is making sure that I don't embarrass them. I think really. and my son is sort of a child of few words, but he's actually quite enthusiastic as well.
Have you ever taken part in arts projects or events before?
Not really, not that I can think of. I'd usually do the visiting and the looking rather than the doing.
And what has your experience of this project been like?
It's unbelievable, really. You know, it's an amazing thing to see. It really is. It's quite unusual. And as I said before, you know, it's a good snapshot of where we are as a nation, I think.
And what would you like to take away from the experience for yourself? Once you've done it, what would you like to
I, as I said before, again, I don't know. I can tell you that afterwards. But, you know, it's a big leap in the unknown, in a way.
Are you able to describe what the opportunity means to you to be one of 2,400 people able to do this?
I think I'm very fortunate. Very fortunate indeed. As I say, something that was started off as a light-hearted work thing has become quite a large part of my life, actually, and it's surprising what it has, the effect it has had on me, from a personal point of view. It's made me look at my life and look at myself, and probably it's changed me already.
And finally, if you think back to your profile on the website, you're asked to put three words that describe you. Do you remember what you put?
I'm a librarian. It's a bit like Alcoholics Anonymous, I think. Hello, I'm Jane Aslam, I'm a librarian. Because some people, you know, you can go to a party or whatever and see people say, well, what, you know, what profession are you in? Well, I'm a librarian, and that stops the conversation dead. Oh, and off they go. So, you know, we are real people and we're actually human.
Well, thank you. Thanks very much.
Thank you. I'm still nervous.